I have a preacher friend who years ago was an associate pastor in Athens, Texas. He had a young man at that time. He was working with young people in the church, and he had a young man in his youth department by the name of Richie Bartlett. Richie's father had died when he was young, and his mother simply would not restrain the young man and train him and discipline him and make him do right. Incidentally, did you know that the single most contributing factor to juvenile delinquency is not poverty? The single most contributing factor to juvenile delinquency is not peer dependency. The single most contributing factor in America to juvenile delinquency is the absence of a strong father in the home. And that's not to say that a single mother can't do it by herself. It is to say, fathers, you are desperately needed to take the leadership and the reins of authority and properly do what God has for you to do in the home. This young man's dad had died when he's young. His mother just had no discipline. And my preacher friend at the time, his name was Jay. Jay tried to teach him. And Richie wanted to learn and tried to learn, but every time it seemed like he was just continually getting in trouble. It's like something was lacking inside. Now, it wasn't a lack of intellect. Jay told me that Richie was the most brilliant young man or man that he had ever met in his life. And Richie tested eventually to go into the Air Force and made the highest score ever made by anyone on the Air Force entrance exam. My friend was actually teaching in the Christian school as well. He said to me, when Richie was in the seventh grade, he was helping me teach the high schoolers trigonometry. He said it was an incredibly brilliant young man, but he could not. He had something lacking inside. He was continually having a problem with authority and having a problem with simply doing right. He got into the Air Force, ran into problems in the Air Force with authority, and was kicked out with a dishonorable discharge. Another problem was not only that mother would not make him do right, mother was always taking his side when he did wrong. That doubled the young man's problems. Not only was his mother doing that, but his grandmother was always siding with him as well. Several days after he got out of the Air Force, with his dishonorable discharge, he went to a big party. There was booze and drugs and all the garbage that goes with that. And he left the party amazingly a little early. And somebody asked him, as he and a couple of his buddies left, "Where are you going?" And he quipped to them, "We're going to kill somebody." Would you look now at the book of Job, chapter 2. Now, there is a word that occurs 16 times in the Bible, and it is without a doubt one of the most important words in the Bible. The word is integrity. There are three men in the Bible that God told us specifically were men of integrity. Now, I'm sure there were other men as well, but these three men were specifically called men of integrity. The first mention of integrity in the Bible was in relation to a heathen king by the name of Abimelech in Genesis chapter 20, and it's mentioned twice that he had integrity in his heart. David is mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 4, as having been a man of integrity. And four times in the book of Job, the Bible refers to Job's integrity. The first time, interestingly, that his integrity is mentioned, it is mentioned by God Himself. You remember the story of how in chapter 1, Satan had come before God and accused Job to God. And when God said, no, he's real. Then Satan said, no, he's only serving you because of all you've done for him. And God removed the hedge a little bit. And before the chapter was over, Job had lost his flocks, his herds, his servants, and his children. He started out the chapter with a wife and a house full of children who were faithful, and many of them grown and away from home, and he was a multimillionaire. And by the time the chapter is ended, all 10 of his children are dead, most of his servants have died, and his flocks and herds have been stolen or decimated. You almost think that God is asleep, but God is not asleep. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. The Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And read the phrase with me right here, would you please? Still he holdeth fast his integrity. Notice that. No matter what has happened, he is still holding fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence. The Lord smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, the crown of his head. And he took him a potsherd to scrape him. This was a piece of a broken vase, and he's scraping these boils over his body. They're itching, they're hurting, they're running, they're ugly, they're vile, they're painful. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, read the next sentence, would you please, with me? Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Chapter 27, in verse 5, is the third mention of Job's integrity. He's talking to his friends and says, God forbid that I should justify you. Read the rest of the verse with me, would you please? Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. How interesting. He says, I'm going to live, I'm going to die, but I'm going to hold on to my integrity. You can't take it away from me. Nobody's going to take it away from me. I've got a grip on my integrity. I will hold on to my integrity. One more time in chapter 31, we have a mention of Job's integrity as he says, verse 6, let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know mine integrity. The truth is, God did know his integrity. God had started out by saying, I have seen it and you can't take it away from him. What is integrity? I thought, well, let's just look the word up in the dictionary. It's interesting. There are three definitions for integrity. They all give various pictures of it and different ways it is used in our world. First of all is the condition or quality of being complete, undivided or unbroken wholeness. Secondly is an unimpaired condition. And third is moral soundness or uprightness. Several times the Hebrew word for integrity is translated uprightness. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 9 says, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely. Now it's not talking about a man walking around with his nose up in the air like he's better than everybody else, but it is talking about the fact, in fact, we've taught our young people. We try to say to them, fellas, sit up. Sit up straight. You know why? Because that is part of uprightness. Uprightness is not only what you do, it is the posture with which you do it. Have you seen guys who are always like this? Have you seen guys who are always like this? A guy like that is more likely to do wrong than a man who walks like this. You know why? His very posture says, I am determined to do right. uprightness and integrity are often the same word. In Proverbs 10:29, it says, "The way of the Lord is strength to the upright." Proverbs 28:6 says, "Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness." And of course, it's talking about far more than just posture. It is talking about the fact that he is a man of integrity. He does that which is right. He is upright. "Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich." Can I ask you a question? If you're here this morning and you're simply right with God, you're doing what is right, you're a person of integrity, you were offered $1 million to do a little something wrong. You're offered $1 million to walk into Walmart and steal a 50-cent candy bar, would you do it? "Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich." Brother Bryant was telling me the other day, he was in, I think it's one of the stores, maybe it's Walmart, maybe it's another store, I don't know. He was buying some sodas, and he got to the vehicle, and he realized he had bought several packs of them, and he realized that they didn't charge him for one pack of those sodas. He's standing there and he's going down the list. "Huh, they didn't charge me for that." Okay. What does a man of integrity do? Goes back into the store. He walks back into the store with the list, with the pack that wasn't paid for, and says at the service desk, "You didn't charge me for these." And the lady looks at him and says, "What?" He said, "I had to stand there and explain everything." And it was like the lady was amazed that I walked back in the store. You know what many people do? Many people say, "Ha ha, they lost my game." That is not integrity. That is not uprightness. "Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich." You say, "Well, I got all this." And yeah, it doesn't matter what you've got. If you don't have integrity, you don't have anything. Contractors and engineers refer to the integrity of steel. What they're saying is that steel may look great on the outside, and you may put two pieces of steel side by side, and both of them look identical, but one of them, when it's put under stress, may not support, and the other one would. The reason the one piece of steel supports is because it has integrity. If steel has an integrity, they use a phrase, they say that it rings true. An engineer can take a ball-peen hammer and strike the steel and hear the ring and tell by the ring of the steel if the steel has integrity or not. Now, what's the difference between integrity and character? The word character actually doesn't appear in the Bible, though the Greek word does in Hebrews chapter 1. It refers to the express image of Jesus Christ. And the Greek word there is character, and we get our English word character from that Greek word. What's the difference between integrity and character? Character is doing right over and over until the doing of right becomes a part of the life, until it becomes a part of a person's character. You teach a child, you get up in the morning, you make your bed, you do your chores, you get yourself dressed, you sit down, you start doing your work, or you get in the vehicle and go where you're supposed to do, and when you come home, you do this, and when it is time for you to speak to an adult, you say yes sir and no sir and yes ma'am and no ma'am, and you show respect, and all of that is character. Character, somebody said, is doing right by habit. It's doing right automatically. It is moral excellence. You can train character into a child. Good character is the natural response to act or react according to high standards of behavior in every situation. Now, integrity is character, get this, but it is more than character, and integrity is more important than character. We had a situation a number of years ago where a young man from our church had to appear on the witness stand. The young man was in trouble. But the judge could hardly believe the young man was in trouble. In fact, some folks from the church came back and they told me, they said, "We don't know what's going to happen with this." See, the young man had character to assert. He had certain character qualities, but he didn't have integrity. But he had been trained well enough that he automatically said, "Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am." He's on the witness stand and he's showing respect. "Yes, sir. No, sir." He looks respectful. His hair is cut. He's got on a suit and a tie. He knows how to walk and talk. He knows how to do everything on the outside. And you know that is a big danger in a church like ours for a young man or a young lady to learn everything on the outside. And if you may develop character qualities so that you just respond a certain way automatically. But integrity is more important than character. Integrity is character that is true from the heart, that is fixed. It is character that is resolute. It is character that cannot be changed. It is character that is not polluted. Integrity is more likely to produce character than character is likely to produce integrity. In fact, integrity is the parent of character. Integrity is the producer of character. If you find a person who doesn't have much character, but they get integrity, they will get character. Because if they want to do right on the inside, I've seen young people come to our church before whose parents were not Christians, whose parents did not want to be Christians, whose parents did not want to do right, but the young person somehow or other got some integrity and said, "I want to do right. It doesn't matter what anybody else says, I'm going to do right." You know what happened to that person? They eventually developed character. Character deficiencies are a result of a lack of integrity. If a man has integrity, if a man has uprightness, and he sees a character deficiency, a character flaw in his life, then he will say, "That must not stay there. I must deal with that." I'm not saying anybody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about steel that supports. We're talking about steel that is sound. We're talking about the steel on the inside of a man's resolve to do that which is right. When it's what the choir was singing. When the choir was singing a while ago, I thought, "Oh, this is a perfect song for this message. I am resolved." That is integrity. I will do right. Integrity is more than good habits that have been formed. I've seen people form good habits and then go bad. Why did they go bad? Because even though they had good habits, they didn't have the integrity to undergird and to support the good habits. Integrity is a determination of the heart. I want to show you the first time the word integrity occurs. It occurs in the context of the heart in the most unlikely, unpredictable place. Here's what happened. Abraham and Sarah traveling through here, they come to Abimelech. He's the king of Gerar, I believe it was. Abimelech sees Sarah, Abraham's wife, and Abraham says she's my sister. She says she's Abraham's sister, and he takes her to be his wife. Well, that was a common thing in the kingdom of those days, and it wasn't any big deal at all for somebody to do something like that. Well, then God points out to Abimelech that she's another man's wife and that God says, "I'm going to kill you for this." Genesis chapter 20, verse 5. All right, here it is. Verse 3 of chapter 20. God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man. You're going to lose your life. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me," verse 5, "she is my sister," and she herself said, "He is my brother." Here's the first occurrence of the word in the Bible. In the integrity, say it with me please, in the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, For I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now give that man's wife back. Now wait a minute, isn't this strange? Abraham is the man of faith. Abraham was the man who was called of God to walk with God. He is the righteous man. Abimelech was probably a heathen Philistine king. But Abimelech had more integrity here in this case than Abraham did. Abraham, to protect his own skin, tells that his wife is his sister, which was a half-truth. She was his half-sister. He's trying to protect his own skin. In the meantime, this heathen king says, I've had integrity. I haven't touched the woman. Please spare my life. Character is good. Integrity is even better. Integrity is the unwavering determination in the heart to do right no matter what. When I'm afraid, I must do right. When I'm not afraid, I must do right. When my emotions lead me the wrong way, I must have integrity. I must do right. When my emotions are doing fine, I must do right. When I'm among the heathens, that's where Abraham was. That's why he thought he had to lie and deceive. When I'm among the heathens, I must do right. When I'm not among the heathens, I must do right. When I'm among committed Christians, I must do right. And when I'm among worldly Christians, I must do right. When my friends stand with me, I must do right. When my friends attack me, that's what happened to Job. That's what we read on over in the book of Job when he said, I will not lose mine integrity. No matter what you say, no matter how much you accuse me, when your friends don't stand with you, in fact, when they turn on you, despise you, make fun of you, put you down, you must still maintain integrity. If your wife and children stand with you, you must do right. If your wife and children don't stand with you, you must do right. When it's easy, you must do right. When it's hard, you must do right. That's integrity. When there's no cost, you must do right. When it is costly, you must do right. No matter what it costs you, when people like it, you must do right. When people don't like it, you must do right. That is integrity. If there is anything that is needed in young men in our day, it is integrity. It is young men who will simply have the resolve in their heart and in their soul to say, I will do right. I don't feel like it. I'm not even, my head is all messed up. I'm not getting any support. I'm not getting any encouragement. But I got to have integrity and I won't let it go. I will do right. It is that thing. Integrity is that thing in a man or a woman that says, I must and will do that which is right. Period. No question marks. A man of integrity tells the truth. Period. He tells the truth when he's under oath. He tells the truth when he's not under oath. In McGuffey's fourth grade reader, this is from the 1800s, there's a story entitled The Young Witness. Boy, we need those put back into public schools in America. You know that? And amazing. In the fourth grade McGuffey's reader, they had the Sermon on the Mount. And they had this story about a young witness. It tells of a 9-year-old girl who was brought to court to testify against a prisoner who had committed a crime in her home. The judge calls her to the bench before she testified, and the following dialogue takes place. The judge hands her an open Bible and says, "Do you know this book, my daughter?" And the girl replies, "Yes, sir, it is the Bible." Judge, "Do you ever read in it?" Girl, "Yes, sir, every evening." Judge, "Can you tell me what the Bible is?" Girl, "It is the Word of God." After taking the oath to tell the truth, the judge asked the girl if she knows what will happen to her if she doesn't tell the truth. And the girl says, "I shall be shut up in the state prison, sir." And the judge says, "Has anyone talked with you about being a witness in court here against this man?" And the girl says, "Yes, sir. My mother heard they wanted me to be a witness, and last night she called me to her room and asked me to tell her the Ten Commandments. And then we knelt down together, and she prayed that I might understand how wicked it would be to bear false witness against my neighbor, and that God would help me, a little child, to tell the truth as it was before God Himself. And then she kissed me, and when I came up here with my father, she told me, the last thing she said is, 'Remember the commandment to not bear false witness against your neighbor, and remember that God is going to hear every word that you say.'" Wow. I got chills running all over. You know what that is? That is integrity. Several times I've talked to men who have gotten in trouble with the law. I've said to them, "Whatever you do, don't play games with the court. If you haven't had integrity before, it's time to get some now. Walk into the courtroom and tell the judge what you did. Be honest. Be frank. Be forthright." I had a man who told me several years ago. He said, he got in some trouble with the law. And I went to talk to him. I was visiting with him. He'd been faithful in church for that. And after that, hardly ever came back to church again. I haven't seen him for years now. And he was in trouble with the law. Now, here's what he should have done. He should have walked into that courtroom, sat down on that witness stand, and just told what he did. That's what he should have done. His life would have been better in the long run if he had done that. He got a lawyer. I'm not against a man having a lawyer. Anybody's welcome to have a lawyer, somebody to stand by their side and counsel them, lead them. But lawyers should not lead people to get off who are truly guilty. That is a disgrace to the profession. How in the world we got to that state in America, I will never understand. This man told me, my lawyer told me, that I should lie on the stand. That there's no way the state can prove their case, and that I should... This was a Christian man who was a member of this church. My lawyer told me, I said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "Well, I got to do what my lawyer tells me to do." He put his lawyer above God Himself. And if he had any integrity, he lost it. He sacrificed truthfulness on the altar of, "I will just get by with this somehow or other. Whatever is best for me, I think. Whatever gets me off the hook." It is not a matter of what gets you off the... Young people, listen to me. We've taught our girls, and now our girls, three of them are married, and they've got children, and they are teaching their children the same thing. You get in more trouble for telling a lie than anything else. Parents, if you don't do that, teach that to your children. No matter what you do, no matter how wrong it is, whatever you do, tell the truth. Fellas, look me in the eyes. Tell the truth. No matter how much problem it causes you, tell the truth. You say, "But it's going to create more problems for me." Wise parents, make sure that if children lie, that nothing is dealt with as severely as lying. Because lying is an attack on integrity, and integrity is the foundation of character. It is the parent of character. It is the producer of character. It'd be difficult to think of a higher compliment to give a young man, a young woman, an older man or an older woman, than to say he is a man of integrity. When you praise your children, praise them for individual character qualities. But also watch and praise them when they show integrity. And point it out. Say, "That was integrity, son. Wow. You did right against incredible odds. That was integrity." That's the foundation of character. It is integrity of the heart produced by the Holy Spirit that yields the fruit of good character. Some things in life are more important than money. Some things in life are more important than pleasure. Some things in life are more important than possession. Some things in life are more important than popularity. Your integrity, your honesty, your character, your testimony, your good name are worth more than any dollar figure you can write down. A few years ago, a college sports team won a championship game. And after they did, the coach discovered they had ineligible players playing on the team. Without anybody forcing him to do so, the coach stepped forward and relinquished the championship trophy. Without waiting to be found out, he brought the trophy and gave it back. What is that? It is integrity. The little phrase really is true. It's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. Why? Because there's always somebody that can play a little better than I can play. But anyone can excel in integrity if they will. And it really, when I stand before God, it's not going to matter how many points I scored in a game. It's going to matter a whole lot whether I had integrity and did right in the game. There's a town in Pennsylvania named Claysburg. It was named after the famous legislator Henry Clay. Henry Clay ran for President of the United States, and at the same time he was running for President of the United States, he was working on some legislation that at that time was unpopular legislation. His advisor sat down and looked at him and said, "Mr. Clay, you must not press and push this legislation. It's unpopular legislation. It could cost you your election." Henry Clay looked at him and said, "Is the principle right?" They said, "What do you mean?" He said, "What I'm pushing, is it right or is it wrong?" They said, "Oh, it's right, but it's unpopular." And he replied, "Then press this legislation to the nth degree. I would rather be right than be president." So, integrity is the determination to do right no matter what. Secondly, integrity must be held in the heart. Integrity is not just what people see. Integrity is what you are. J. Kessler said, "Life must be more about what we are than what we do, or else we would be called human doings rather than human beings." I love that statement. William Quayle said, "Preaching is the art of making a sermon and delivering it." No, that is not preaching. Preaching is the art of making a preacher and delivering that. What was he saying? Is saying that the integrity of the preacher is more important than what he preaches. I've heard some preachers that would just astound you with their eloquence, with their ability, with their exposition, and then you find out that they're cheating somebody, they're stealing from somebody, they're running around on their wife or something like that. Suddenly you really don't care if you listen to him. Am I telling you the truth? Integrity. Integrity. Twice in Genesis 20, it referred to the integrity of Abimelech's heart. Then in Job, God said about him, "He holdeth fast his integrity." In chapter 27, verse 5, "I will not remove mine integrity." Ooh, I love those phrases. "He holdeth fast his integrity. I will not remove mine integrity from me. As long as I'm alive, I will hold on to my integrity." Now, you know, one of the most important truths in the whole Bible is this. Jesus said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." I want to tell you, if you've got any integrity, it's not just because you got it. If you've really got it, it's because God gave it to you. But I want to tell you, even though God gives it to you, it's as though God also says, "I give you the responsibility to hold on to it. I give you integrity, you hold on to it." God said, look at Job, he holds fast his integrity. He's got a grip on it. He won't let it go. As far as we know, he kept that grip all the way through his life. How can a person hold on to integrity? Only in the heart. If it is not in the heart, integrity is up for grabs. If it is not in your heart, then the mind will begin to rationalize and figure out a way to get around it. If your integrity is only in your hand, somebody will be able to buy it from you. If your integrity is only in your mind, somebody will talk you out of it. But if integrity is in your heart, then you, with God's help, can keep integrity no matter what. Let me ask you. Here's the question. What would you do if nobody ever found out? Would you steal if you knew no one would ever find it out? Which is stronger in your heart, lust or integrity? What would you look at if you knew no one would ever find out? Where would you go if you knew no one would ever find out? Who would you touch if you knew no one would ever find out? What would you do if you knew that no one would ever find out? Integrity says, I can't do this because I can't live with myself if I do. That is integrity in the heart. You remember the story of Joseph? He's sold by his brothers into slavery, winds up in Potiphar's house in Egypt, where Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. What did Joseph say? How then can I... He's looking at her saying, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Notice that. He wasn't just worried about her husband finding out. People who are unfaithful to their mates, if they're thinking about their mate or the other person's mate finding out, they're not as likely to maintain integrity as they are if they recognize God's watching this whole thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph wasn't just worried about her husband finding out. He was worried about having to live with himself, knowing that God would know that which he had done. Martin Luther said, if I knew the world would go to pieces tomorrow, I would still plant my apple tree and pay my debts. Let me ask you this question. If nobody was going to ring your door, if nobody was going to write you a letter saying you're late, if nobody was going to contact you, if no bill collector was coming after you, would you still pay your bills? If the boss is nowhere around, do you still put in 8 hours work for 8 hours pay? My dad said to me years ago, I've never forgotten his son, if a man pays you to work, you work for that man. It doesn't matter if that man is standing there. My dad used to tell me, son, there's times when the boss isn't around, I still work because God is still watching me. And that's what a man is supposed to do. That's the way a man's supposed to act. Do you work harder when the boss is watching than you do when he's not? George Washington said, I cannot tell a lie. What is that? That's integrity. Integrity pays a bill when it's supposed to be paid, or it calls up the person and tells them when it will be paid. Integrity, hear me, integrity cannot just act like the bill doesn't exist. It's amazing how many people will say to even a brother or sister in Christ, I'm going to pay you on Saturday. And when Saturday rolls around, they don't pay and they don't say. They don't do anything. They act like the bill doesn't exist. Saturday comes around, Sunday comes around, Monday. Incidentally, that's the reason I don't loan money to brothers and sisters in Christ. Because you can ruin good relationships. Because if I loan you $100 and you tell me you're going to pay me back by Saturday, then Saturday I'm watching all day long to see if you show up. And if you don't have the integrity to show up and don't have the integrity to call me by Sunday morning, I can't preach because all I can think about is you don't have the integrity to pay me. And you didn't have the integrity to call me. And it may be you just forgot. I don't know. I just don't loan money. It just saves the headache. I have people all the time asking me, can I borrow money from... so-and-so, or can I loan money to so-and-so? My stock answer is don't loan money to anybody in the church. It's my stock answer. Now you know. You don't have to ask anymore. Don't loan money to anybody in the church. Don't borrow money from anybody in the church. It's safer. Much safer. Because if they don't pay, then your relationship is all right. Integrity says this. Saturday rolls around. I don't have the money. I'm thinking, well, now I got two ways I can go here. I can just walk around, act like nothing's happened, shake the brother's hand, the sister's hand, or I can dodge them. A lot of people will dodge somebody like that. They'll just stay away from them. And then this other person, when are they going to come and talk to me? And Sunday comes, and Monday comes, and Tuesday comes, and Wednesday comes, and each day that rolls by, you know what you're doing? You are sacrificing your testimony on the altar of your lack of integrity to say, hey, if I owe you, that's all right. And if I can't pay you, that's all right too. But there are telephones. I can write you. I can call you. I love stories of Abraham Lincoln. This is from the story life of Abraham Lincoln. It says, on one occasion while working as a clerk in a store, in fact, this was at New Salem, I'm pretty sure, he sold a woman a little bale of goods, amounting in value by the reckoning to $2.20. He received the money and the woman went away. On adding the items of the bill again to make himself sure of correctness, he found that he had taken 6¼ cents too much. It was night. And closing and locking the store, he started out on foot, a distance of 2 or 3 miles, for the house of his defrauded customer, and delivering over to her the sum whose possession had so much troubled him, he went home satisfied and happy. What is that? That's integrity. That's why he had the moniker, Honest Abe. On another occasion, just let me tell you something. If you can't trust a man with 2 cents in a store, you can't trust him with $2 billion in the White House. Young people, if you can't be trusted with $2, how's God going to trust you with $200,000 out yonder in the future somewhere? I heard about a fellow that was being considered for a major promotion in the bank where he worked. He didn't know this, but the board of directors in the bank had already met and were just within days of approaching him and saying, we're going to promote you to this significant position in the bank with a significant raise. One of the board of directors was in a cafeteria line, 2 or 3 people back from where this fellow was. And he watched this fellow going through the cafeteria line getting food, and he watched him pick up a 5-cent pat of butter. And instead of setting it on the plate where the cashier could see it, he watched him slide it into his napkin and put his silverware on top of it where she would never see the 5-cent pat of butter. And go through without paying for the butter. And the man said not a word. He simply went back to the board of directors and said, we cannot have that man in our bank. If he is not honest with 5 cents, you can't trust him with $500,000. Integrity. On another occasion, just as Lincoln was closing the store for the night, a woman entered and asked for a 1/2 pound of tea. The tea was weighed out and paid for, and the store was left for the night. The next morning, Lincoln entered to begin the duties of the day when he discovered a 4-ounce weight on the scales. He saw at once that he had made a mistake. Shutting the store, he took a long walk before breakfast to deliver the remainder of the tea. That is integrity. Perhaps the most astounding story of Lincoln's life in this area is when he and Mr. Berry were partners together in a store and decided to sell their store to a pair of brothers by the name of Trent, who never paid and never had any intent of paying, no matter what amount they agreed. Mr. Berry died, the Trent brothers never paid, and Lincoln was left with a tremendous debt that took him many, many years to pay. It says, it's greatly to his credit, he never thought of doing by others as others had done by him. The morality of the frontier was deplorably loose in such matters. Most people would have concluded the failure of the business expunged its liabilities. But Lincoln made no effort even to compromise the claims against him. He promised to pay when he could, and it took the labor of years to do it, but he paid every last farthing of the debt, which seemed to him and his friends so large that what they called it was the national debt. And it took him many years to pay it, but he paid the debt. You may recognize the name Adam Clark. Adam Clark was a great man of God who wrote a set of commentaries on the Bible. When Adam was a young man, he worked in a store, and the owner of the store told him that when he sold material to people, he wanted him to stretch the material as he measured it to get more yards off the roll. When Adam Clark refused to stretch the material and cheat the people, he lost his job. That's integrity. Another young man in history worked in a dry goods store. Sitting at the supper table one evening, his father saw him chuckle to himself, and his dad said, "Son, what are you laughing about?" "Oh, nothing, Dad. I was just thinking about work." He said, "Well, what's so funny, son?" He said, "Well, Dad, we have two grades of coffee there. We have a high grade of coffee and a lower grade of coffee. People buy the high grade and it's more expensive. But when they run out of the high grade, he just takes a scoop out of the low grade bin, puts it in the high grade bin and sells it for high grade coffee." His father said, "Son, you go in tomorrow and quit your job." He said, "But Dad, we need the money." It was during the days of the Depression. Almost no jobs were there. Almost no money was around. His dad said, "I don't care, son. You're not going to work for a crook. There is nothing funny about what you told me. You quit the job tomorrow." The boy did it. His father taught him and never forgot the lesson in honesty he learned when he later opened his own business. His name was J.C. Penney. And he found out you can be honest and do okay. In fact, when he originally started his business, he started his business built on the golden rule. "As you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them likewise." It was almost a new concept for somebody to do a business like that. Instead of trying to take advantage of people, you do to people as you'd want them to do to you. And he built one of the most incredible businesses for many decades in the history of the United States. You know what? I'd rather have... David, run up here, will you? I'd rather have a word and a handshake from a man of integrity, where the man looks me in the eye and says, "I'm going to do this," and you shake hands on it. I'd rather have that from a man of integrity than to have a man without integrity who signs a detailed contract. My dad used to say, "Son, let your word be your bond." He was saying, "Son, if you give your word..." Thanks, David. "If you give your word, that ought to be good enough. A man shouldn't need anything else. Your word should be all that you need. And that should stand no matter what else happens." Years ago, I worked at a fast food restaurant. I was 19 years of age. I had started as an employee, worked my way up in a few months to assistant manager, and was working with a manager who was a very likable fellow. He came to me one day and asked if he could borrow $200. Now that's like $500 or $600 in our day or more. This was the early 70s. He said, "I'll pay you $300 back in 2 weeks if you'll loan me $200 now." Now I didn't understand that when somebody says that to you, you don't do that. You know, that sounded good to me. I want to tell you something, folks. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. If they offer you 50 cents a piece for stuffing envelopes, run. They're going to take $100 from you and you're going to be left with a stack of empty envelopes. That's what's going to happen to you. Amen? Well, he said, "I tell you what," he said, I'm really pressed. I got a bill I got to pay." And he said, "I'm cashing in a life insurance policy and I'll pay you 2 weeks from now." Well, he's the manager of the business. I'm working under him. He's making more money than I am, making double or triple what I was making at the time. Well, that Saturday came when he was going to pay me, and it came and it went, and I saw no cash. A few more days passed, no money. And then I came into work one day and the manager wasn't there and a supervisor was there, the supervisor of several stores. He said, "I want to talk to you." And he looked at me and he said, he called the name of the manager. He said, "Do you know what he's been doing?" As soon as he said that, my heart went. Here I was in college with a new wife. I pretty well wiped out my savings, loaned him $200. And, I was hurting. Well, this manager is writing a big check at night. He comes by when they close. He writes a check for a couple of $100s. He puts it into the thing, into the till, takes the couple of $100s out, and the check is no good. And we got several bad checks. And we are pretty sure he's deep into gambling and he's got some big gambling debts. I won't go into all the details. His mother worked folding clothes at a laundromat and started paying me $5 a week for about 2 years until finally I was paid back. Year and a half, something like that. I learned a dear lesson. Just because a person has position doesn't mean they have integrity. You know, I don't know much about sports. Some of y'all have to tell me if this is true. I've heard that some professional athletes will sign a contract for 3 years. And then if they have a good year, they refuse to honor their contract that they've already signed and want to renegotiate after this good year. Is that true? Is that so? That's what I've heard. I've got people nodding at me. Now, you know what I wonder? I wonder if they're willing to renegotiate after a bad year, if they're willing to lower their salary. If it's going to hurt them, then I have some cropland that I have a farmer who rents my cropland. He pays me so much, an acre per year to rent my cropland. And several years ago, we had a drought. I called him up, real nice guy, very honest man, very upright man, man of integrity. And I said to him, "Mike, we've had a drought this year, and I know this crop's going to be bad for you." And I said, "I just want you to know that even though we have a signed contract, if we need to renegotiate this year so that you're not in trouble, I'm willing to do it. It'll be all right." And he said, "Thank you, Pastor Davis, for calling me. But I want you to know that I had a good year last year, and yeah, this year's going to be bad, but I think I'll have a good year next year, and I appreciate it, but I think I'll be all right, and we'll just leave the contract like it is." What is that? I wanted to do to somebody like I'd want them to do to me. That's all. I don't know that I'm a man of integrity, but I wanted to be a man of integrity. These team folks, you know, these professional athletes who do that, I wouldn't want that person on my team at any price. I wouldn't want my children watching him play. I wouldn't want his poster up anywhere around, because integrity is more important than talent. Third, integrity is most important in the home. Psalm 101 verse 2, "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. I will walk in my house with a perfect heart." And that word perfect heart, it's the same Hebrew word as integrity. At the end of the book of Job, God gave Job double what he had, plus 10 more children. Imagine the testimony those children heard. Imagine him telling how he went through that, but he held on to his integrity. We had a testimony last week. Brother Comstock came up here and gave a testimony last Sunday. A phenomenal testimony. If you missed it, you ought to get him to tell you how he was at Springfield, walked out of the store, and there's six $100 bills laying on the floor right outside the store. Walked back in the store and left a note for the people, if they were to come, that he had found some money. These people had called several times, And they drove up to Lincoln and came to his house, and then they handed him $100, and then they started to leave, and they said, you have no idea what a blessing this is to us. And then they handed him another $100. He said, "I don't need the $100. I'm just glad you got your money back." And they said, "No, take it." And they forced him to take it. Let me tell you something. The greatest thing happened was not the $200 reward. The greatest thing happened was that the children learned that a man can walk in his house with a perfect heart. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, "The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him." A godly lady said the first time she read that verse as a teenager, it reminded her of her dad. There was an elderly lady who wanted him to do a job, and he didn't want the job. He was pretty sure a friend of his wanted the job and was given an estimate, and he wanted the friend to get the job. And so he bid the job really high for this elderly lady so he wouldn't get the job. But she liked him and wanted him to do the job. And even though somebody else underbid him, she took his bid. And this father in the home told his children he felt so bad about it that he did a whole bunch of work for her that wasn't in the contract to do. Integrity is the determination to do right no matter what. Integrity must be held in the heart. Integrity is most important in the home. Fourth, integrity will guide you. Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." How does a young man ultimately, I've given all the points before on how a young man finds a mate for life. But you know what is one of the most important things is just that a young man or a young lady has integrity. Because if you have integrity, then that is a part of your life, then you're more likely to find somebody else who has integrity. There are certain key character qualities necessary for somebody to build a successful marriage. And without the integrity to seek and learn those qualities, a young man or a young woman can actually be what I call unmarriageable. No matter who comes with those severe character deficiencies, if they marry, they're going to have problems. And fifth, integrity will guard you. Psalm 25:21, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee." It was the integrity of his heart that saved Abimelech's life. And it matters not how much talent or money or intelligence or personality or charisma or ability a person have. If he doesn't have integrity, his life is worthless. I began the message with the story of Richie Bartlett, a fella in Texas who was absolutely brilliant, who scored higher on the Air Force entrance exam than anybody else, who was teaching high schoolers trigonometry when he was in the seventh grade. But he didn't have integrity. He was kicked out of the Air Force with a dishonorable discharge. Went to a party, lots of booze and drugs, and as they left, somebody said, "Where are you going?" And he was heard to say, "We're going to kill somebody." They left Athens, Texas, crossed the Oklahoma line, saw a fellow with car trouble. The three of them got out. Two friends grabbed each arm, and Richie Bartlett put a gun to his head and for a lark killed the man. Is serving a life sentence in the Huntsville Penitentiary in Texas. And my preacher friend said he had more potential than any man I ever met. And my preacher friend, when was asked, "Is there any remorse in Richie Bartlett?" said, "No, he sits in prison griping because his grandmother doesn't do more for him." Some of the most talented men with incredible potential are in these two prisons right out here. What is lacking? Integrity. Integrity. What did Job say? "I will hold fast to my integrity till I die." And yet remember this. Jesus said, "Without me you can do nothing." There can be somebody here this morning listening to all this and say, "It's impossible to live that way." And the truth is, without Jesus, nobody can do anything they ought to do. And a lot of people think that if they live a good enough life, have enough character, keep enough of the commandments, pay their bills, treat their neighbor right, they'll go to heaven. But the truth is, we're all sinners who have to trust Jesus as Savior or we'll wind up in hell. And I ask you, have you done that? Would you bow with me, please?